Good morning. It's a privilege for us to come and be a part of a greater family of God that we have not been a part of, never been in Michigan before. So he welcomed us with 43-degree temperatures in the morning, but walked in the door and the warmth took care of that, so we appreciate we had a wonderful weekend with all of you, so we appreciate the elders, Pastor Keith, inviting us to come and be a part of this weekend and allowing us to be able to share this morning and further on this morning as well. It's been a good weekend. The story goes that one of golf's immortal moments was when a Scotsman tried to demonstrate the brand new game of golf to Ulysses Grant. They went out to the golf course, and carefully placing the ball on the tee, the Scotsman swung back and gave a mighty swing. Bam, he hit the ground. And the turf went up into the president's beard and all over the place, and the ball sat quietly on the tee. Second time, he swung and missed. Our president waited patiently through six tries, and then very quietly said, "I notice that there is a fair amount of exercise in this game, but I fail to see the purpose of the ball." A lot of people are searching for the purpose of life, the meaning of life. You know, life seems to be going around about them. So many are busy, but no clue why they're here. No clue what their purpose, what are they supposed to be doing? What's their role in life? And unfortunately, I've seen a lot of Christians that are in the same boat. What are we living for? What are we living our life for? What is the purpose of life? Is there a reason for what we do? It's God's clear intention that every believer be serving the Lord Jesus Christ in some capacity. We've been given gifts, each one of us have, and we're supposed to use them as good stewards. And yet for so many that name the name of Christ, their faith is like football. I know you're all football fans, but it comes out to be an occasional Sunday spectator sport, our faith. And we're not in the game. We're not serving him on a day-to-day basis. But if you truly know Christ, you can't be happy in the stands. You can't be happy on the sidelines, on the bench. You want to be in there playing and being a part of it. From the passage that was read to us this morning from 2 Timothy, I should know that, chapter 2, I want to focus my comments on the first two verses, verses 20 and 21. And there Paul says, in a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some are for common use. Then he says, those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. How many of you want to be a part of that? Oh, there's only a few. Oh, my goodness. A lot of work to do here. The question I have, I guess, for you for this morning is, are you a special purpose? I knew I was going to do this. Are you a special purpose person? According to the passage here, that's exactly what the Lord wants of each one of us. I didn't ask if you're a special person. I didn't ask if you are specially trained or highly qualified or highly educated and have giftings galore. But are you a person that God can use for a special purpose? To make his point to Timothy, Paul used an example of the day. He said, in a large house, there are not only articles of gold and silver, but also of common use. And then he stipulated that the articles of wood and clay, were for common use. The reference to the large house meant that it was a house of a wealthy person. Nobles, rich people, princes, probably had a lot of rooms, probably had a number of servants. Obviously, there's a lot of money on hand. And in a home such as this, you would find the articles of gold and silver. Goblets and dishes and silverware, decorations. And those were brought out when they had special guests or special friends that were going to come over to the home, and they'd get out the special dishes and silverware. But you'd also find things made of wooden clay, usually back in the kitchen for cleaning purposes, slop buckets, taking out the garbage, maybe back in the bathroom to take out human waste. They didn't have flush toilets back in that time. Those were the articles for common use, and those special guests, they would never see those. In fact, the master of the house would never touch those either, because they had servants to do that. How many of you have watched the Downton Abbey series on TV? Okay, my wife loves it. I've seen a couple articles, got to keep her company, you know. Most of the action took place upstairs in the big mansion there with the people there, but there was a lot of action that took place downstairs in the kitchen. That's where the servants were using the utensils for common use. That's where those utensils were that the master of the house, the people upstairs, would never touch and use themselves. Now, Paul, of course, is talking about these articles and vessels, these kind of utensils, is talking about us. He's talking about people. He's not talking about goblets and dishes and silverware. Now, we here in the States don't really consider other people as we look out, say, oh, they're clean and they're unclean, or they're a higher stature and lower stature. So sometimes we got class difference here in the States. That's true. But we don't necessarily think of people for special purposes and for common use. After all men are created equal. We've got that in our Constitution. Scriptural as well. So what is Paul talking about here? An experience that my wife and I had in India kind of brought this a little bit more, gave me a greater understanding. When we were there, we had opened up there in India, the caste system is still very, very strong. You see, there's five castes, five main castes, I should say. The top high caste is Brahmin. Now, within each caste, there are a number of subcastes. Now, the Indian government is trying to downplay the whole caste system. You know, it's just not that important anymore. People don't really adhere to it much anymore. It's going away. It's not. Everybody knows their caste. And marriages are worked out within the caste, who you invite to your home, who you invite to your table, who you spend your time with is all according to caste. If you know the last name of an Indian, you can usually Google the name, and Google will tell you what caste they're in. It's that precise. So you are born into, your name tells you which caste you are in. In our office, we had started a business. It was a language center. In our office, we had a staff. The three in the back, two of them were our Hindi teachers, and one was our receptionist. And the gentleman in the white in front, he was from a lower caste. His name is Santram. Now, Santram was hired to do the cleaning in the office area. He came in and he swept the floors and he washed the floors every day, just dusty constantly. He'd wipe down the whiteboards, he'd rearrange the chairs, he'd make our chai. Chai is wonderful if you haven't tried it yet. Chai and our coffee. And we hired him to clean the bathrooms. A number of months after we had hired him, our receptionist came to me and said, "Sir, it's really bothering Santram to clean the bathrooms." I thought, really? Why would that be an issue? When I was in college, I was a janitor for a year, and I cleaned bathrooms every day. No big deal. But I found out that Santram was of a lower caste, but he was not the lowest caste. It's the lowest caste people that clean bathrooms. And so we had to go out, and we hired a woman of the lowest caste. She would go from business to business along the street. We found out a lady that did that, and so we had her come in a couple times a week to clean the bathrooms. That was her job. That was the unclean. The lowest caste are unclean caste, and they do the unclean stuff, including take care of carcasses and things that's all unclean over there. You know, initially that bothered me. And so I thought, you know, I've done that. It's no big deal. So I'm going to be a good example. I'll do the bathrooms. You know, show them that there is no difference. We shouldn't be making this difference among people. But then I was reminded of the culture in which we lived and worked. And I realized that if I did that, their respect for me, I would basically become unclean. Their respect for me would diminish greatly. And as a boss, that was not my place. And as I thought about that concept, I realized that if I did that and they saw me as unclean, the impact that I could have on them for Christ would be much diminished as well. Now, you might be thinking, well, you know, that's all really interesting. What does that have to do with us, especially as Christians? You know, we don't have a caste system here. We know that it's not stuff on the outside that makes us unclean. It's what's on the inside. Even Paul in Romans 14:14 says, I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. Now, speaking on this passage, John MacArthur puts it this way: honor and dishonor, talking about the special instruments and the common instruments for common purpose. Honor and dishonor refer to the ways in which genuine believers are found useful to the Lord in fulfilling the work to which He has called them. In this sense, he says, all believers should be, but are not always, vessels of honor or instruments for special purposes. I say, yeah, but in a household, you've got to have all those instruments. Well, that's true. But the instruments for the common use, the master doesn't touch. So how do we become instruments then for special purposes? Well, Paul says, those who cleanse themselves from the latter. Now, the latter, he talked about the articles of gold and silver, and then he talked about the articles of wood and clay. So the latter is talking about the wood and clay, the instruments for common use. So those who cleanse themselves from the instruments of the common use will be instruments for special purposes. Now, if we're talking about people here, which we are, what makes an instrument unclean? What makes us, unclean in God's eyes? What would render us for common use unfit for the Master's touch? Oh, I think we all know the answer is sin. Sin makes us unclean. If we are living in sin, if there is sin in our lives that we're unwilling to give up, we have made ourselves unclean. Isn't it interesting that Paul says, those who cleanse themselves? What's that all about? I thought Jesus was the one that cleanses us. I thought, isn't that why he died on the cross and shed his blood for us? That statement, those who cleanse themselves, kind of reminds me of all the Old Testament ritualistic cleansing requirements, using water to wash themselves, going through a purification process. As unclean an unclean person in general had to avoid anything that was holy. And they had to take steps themselves to return to a state of cleanness before they could go and worship again. There in the Old Testament times, purification always involved a waiting period. For minor things, might just be until the evening. It was 80 days for the birth of a daughter. Sorry, ladies. The mother became unclean for 80 days. It could also involve ritual washing, symbolizing cleansing, could be atoning sacrifices, some priestly rituals. But until this was all done, one could not even approach the temple or any holy place. Today, I think sometimes we have lost the sense of the holiness of God. Everything's fine. God doesn't really care, does he? We can do whatever we want, and he'll still accept us. He's a kind and loving God, after all. But remember when Christ was on the cross? He took all of our sins, yours and mine, upon him. And at one point he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? What was that all about? God could not look on that sin. He had to turn his face away. He's a holy God. And we have to come back to realizing that we are worshiping and we are living for, we belong to a holy God, and our lives need to be holy as well. So when we find ourselves in a state of uncleanness due to sin, Paul says, cleanse yourselves. He's saying that it's our choice, it's a choice that we have to make. It's our responsibility, it's a conscious decision that we are going to cleanse ourselves. We're going to come back to that in just a moment, so bear with me. So if we cleanse ourselves, if we do this, what then happens? Well, Paul says there in verse 21, those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes. That's God's desire, that we be instruments for special purposes. It's at that moment and only at that moment of cleansing that God will reach out and use you and use me for his purpose. Now, what does that entail? What does becoming an instrument for special purposes include? First of all, Paul says, we will be made holy. We will be made clean. Holiness comes from purity. The theological term is sanctification. That's the process of sanctification, process of becoming clean before the Lord, becoming holy, becoming pure. In your own house, if you do your lunch dishes, or you have your lunch and you clean off the table and you stack your dishwasher or put the dishes all over on the counter, and then something grabs your attention and off you go do something else and you forget to get the dishes washed. Anybody ever do that? Okay, good. Not just me. Supper time comes around. Didn't do the dishes. No big deal. You get the dirty dishes, put them back on the table, right? It's not going to happen. Have you ever been in a restaurant when the waitress or waiter brings you the silverware and napkins? You open up a napkin and look at the silverware and there's crusted egg on your fork. Oh, what do you do? Well, after you get over your revulsion, you say, hey, waitress, I need a new fork. I will not use this. I want a clean fork. Well, I'm messing up my pages here. Excuse me. In the same way, God only wants to use the vessels or the instruments that are clean, that have been purified, that have been cleansed from sin. Because he is holy, he wants to use holy instruments. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and will do what? Purify us from all unrighteousness. That's the cleansing process. That's the purifying process. And this is what brings us back to what Paul is telling us, to cleanse yourself. We need to confess our sins. That's our responsibility. That's our decision that we have to make. God is not going to cleanse us. He's not going to purify us until we come in humility before him and ask him and confess our sins. Paul says in Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, there it is again, holy, pure, clean, sanctified, and pleasing. We're not going to be pleasing until we are holy and sanctified and clean before the Lord. This is your true and proper worship. This is how we should be living. This should be our regular daily lifestyle, a lifestyle of holiness. 2 Timothy 1:9, Paul says, he has saved us and called us to a holy life. Why has he called us to a holy life? Because he wants to use people who are living that righteous life to accomplish what he wants to do. And that brings us to the second point of becoming instruments for special purposes. We will be useful then to the master. I enjoy putzing around with woodwork from time to time. And my daughter asked me if I would make a plaque. And so I went to a scrap pile from a sawmill and got an old hunk of wood. Went home and I got my little old hand sander out and I started sanding one side. And sanding is just seemed to be taking hours and not much was happening. And then I could hear the motor going. I said, oh my goodness, I'm burning out the motor. So I put that aside and I bought a new hand sander, stronger, brought that back. Boy, what a difference that made. Boy, I powered through and got that done quickly, got it made. I put the old sander away. Why? It's no longer useful. If there is sin in our lives, we become like that old sander. We are no longer going to be useful to the master. He's going to use somebody else. And folks, that is so sad. When he wants to use you, when he wants to use me, and he's ready, he's got his project already, can't use him, can't use her. I'll use this person instead. Folks, he has work to be done. He has a plan that he will accomplish. He wants to use you. He wants to use me. Are you useful to him? This morning, are you useful to him? Thirdly, if we cleanse ourselves and become instruments for special purposes, we will be prepared to do any good work. I think often the reason Christians don't get more involved in ministry is because perhaps they don't feel worthy. Perhaps they don't feel gifted enough or trained enough. It could be that they just don't feel prepared. Why would God use someone like me? There's so much more talent and so much more gifting in the church. I'm not really anything that God can use. Back in 2011, the headquarters from Christian Missionary Alliance touched my wife and I and asked us to start a brand new initiative in a South Asian country. The title was Country Coordinator for this brand new work that they were starting. And because it was a creative access country, we couldn't go in as regular missionaries. We had to go in as business people, start a business, which we did as a language center. We had never done business before in our life. I had a business minor way back in college days. I have no idea what I studied. That doesn't sound good. As far as business is concerned, I didn't really care at the time. We had never ministered among this religious group in all of our ministry time either. Why in the world? What were they thinking? What was headquarters thinking, for goodness sake? Why would they ask us? Then we realized that God had a special plan, he had a special purpose, and he wanted instruments that were ready and willing to be used and just to step out in faith. God never says, go prepare yourself to do my work. I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. It says, if we cleanse ourselves, we will be prepared to do any good work. He's going to prepare us. It doesn't mean we shouldn't take initiative to prepare for ministry. I'm not saying that at all. But God's plans, God's wills, God's ideas are so much greater than we can even come up with ourselves. And no matter how much we prepare and plan, there's so much more to be prepared for. He always stretches us, and we can't plan and prepare for the unexpected. God loves to bring up unexpected things because he loves for us to trust him and just say yes. We talked about that a little bit last night, just being submitted to the Lord. Okay, you want me to do that? Oh, okay, here we go. Please come with me. But though God's plans are so much greater than we are, that should not intimidate us so much that we would not, or that we would use an excuse not to step out in obedience. to do what he's asked us to do. Why? Because Paul says we are God's handiwork. He's the one that's working on us, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God created us to do good works. Which ones? The ones he prepared in advance for us to do. He already has them on his agenda, and he's waiting for us to step up. What's so encouraging about this is that he has chosen the good works, and he is going to do the work using us. Because it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So he's going to fulfill his good purpose, and he's going to work in us to get that done. We need to allow God to work in us. You see, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about God. It's always all about God. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter, the common use stuff, will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, being useful to the master and prepared to do any good work. Now, here's a question that I like to ask at the end of my message. So what? So what does this mean to me? So what do I need to change in my life from what I've just heard from God through his word? And I guess we need to ask, are you holy? Are you useful to the master? Are you prepared to do any good work? Are you an instrument for special purposes? Paul says those who cleanse themselves, folks, there's a choice to be made. There are some who don't want to be cleansed. Some are enjoying their sin. There are some that have been sucked into sin because they've gotten so involved in what our society is saying today that they may not even realize that it's sin, because everything's okay to do today. Whatever you want to do, no problem. So many people are doing it and everybody's saying it's okay, you know, it must be fine. You know, the Bible's an old book. We're more enlightened today. Some of us like to grovel in the mud and yuck of the world. It's fun for a moment. Everybody else is doing it. I don't want to be different. How do we cleanse ourselves? Well, you know the answer. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and will purify you from all unrighteousness. But we've got to come to that point in our lives that we will acknowledge the sin in our life. We have to come to that point in our lives where we will come in humility before God. That we will understand that until we are cleansed, we are useless in his hands. It sounds harsh, but that's the truth. David said in Psalm 139, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." That's a prayer that we should be praying on a regular basis. See if there's any offensive way. I don't want any of that in my life. And as the Lord brings those issues to mind, that's when we need to confess them. Then what an amazing promise he gives us. If you confess our sins, your sins, he will purify you. That's a cleansing process. Then if we cleanse ourselves, we will be instruments for special purposes. We will be made holy. We will be useful to the master. We will be prepared to do any good work. Could we ask for anything more than that? As you as an instrument, are you as an instrument ready to be used in the pure hands of the most holy God? If every part of this body works together as instruments for special purposes as a church, it's amazing what God is going to do in Sio and beyond. He wants to use you in Sio. He wants to use you in Dexter. He wants to use you in Ann Arbor. He wants to use you in the other townships that are around. But we have to live our lives on purpose God's purpose, we have to prepare our life so that we can live that life on purpose, both individually and as a church. The church is God's instrument to touch the community. You are the church. What's your purpose as a church? When you know that, you can live your lives on purpose to achieve the greater purpose of the church, God's purpose, God's mission, to touch people's lives. And that may be just by going next door to your neighbor, introducing yourself, start building relationships, letting them see Christ in you, letting them see that there is something different, there's something exciting about living a life for Christ. As we close, we're going to be singing a song by Casting Crowns. If we are the body, most of you probably know that one. We're going to do a video song, and we're going to want you to sing along. But it says, if you are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? If we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? And if that's not happening, it means that we have become instruments of common use. Unclean, God can't use us. And as we sing this morning, follow along, sing if you would like to, or just follow the words, and be praying and asking God to show you in your own heart where you are with him. And if you need to get into that, if you need to do business with the Lord and confess sins, because the end of the song says, there is a way. Jesus is a way. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his body. Jesus is a way. We need to walk with Jesus in that. So let's stand and let's go ahead and sing this together.